G7, number 1B.
So, let me quickly explain why I said this question could be considered heretical, because that's the answer one always gets, because Mrs. Eddy makes a statement at the beginning of the sixth chapter, Science, Theology and Medicine, and you know perhaps that first paragraph there very well. I don't have to read it to you, just to pick out the main problem, where she says that in the year 1866 she discovered the Christ science, the laws of life, truth and love, and named her discovery Christian Science. And then she goes on and says that God has graciously prepared her over many, many years for the reception. Now I have to quote precisely, for the reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. There is a term in it which is puzzling for most people, namely that she said, for the reception of this final revelation. Is the accent on revelation, is the accent on final, or is the accent on this? That's a question. It's always a question of interpretation. She certainly received an answer in revelation that God, being the infinite, is actually a divine absolute principle. That was revealed to her. But is this the end of the revelation? That's the question. And they say, yes, it is the end of the revelation, because she says the reception of this final, it's final. The revelation is final. There is no more any revelation to come. Think of eternity. It will be over and over and over and over and over the same stuff all over, because it's already the final thing. Nothing will be more, will be new anymore. Is this being? Is this infinitude? Is this the nature of the real development? No, that can't be it. So let's see that what Mrs. Eddy really said is something different. Namely, what she was writing down really was her revelation at her point. And that was her ultimate final revelation. Her final revelation. Not the final revelation. There is no such a thing as a final revelation. Not even Jesus would say such nonsense. Jesus even would say through John, you know, that it will go on, I would have many things to tell you, and what I can tell you, you cannot understand now, but the time will come when you will understand it. When the time is ripe, then I send you the Comforter, I send you the Paraclete that will tell you everything, and so on. Even Jesus didn't state that what he saw or what he taught was the final word. And so we must take this sentence here as what it says, that what Mrs. Eddy wrote down in the textbook was her final revelation. Her, not the final revelation. You know, I'm in a very good position to defend that, because at one time, just a few years before Mrs. Eddy wrote this, or before that final edition came out, she had the 1906 year edition, only a few years before. And there she made that little mistake that she wrote at that time. I read it to you, that she wrote about that she was graciously fitting me, that God was graciously fitting me during many years for the reception of a final revelation, a final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific being. How can being be final? So she, in 1910, she left that out. She didn't say any more being. She left it right out and said, it's only the divine principle of mental healing. Can you see that? That she became aware that her earlier version was not quite right, that it could be misleading, that it could state there is a final revelation for in being. There can't be in being. Being is infinite. Or we better shut up with our textbook and with our teaching and say nonsense, because the whole textbook is about the infinite and about the one being that is without beginning, without end, that is infinite, that is endless, that is ever new. How can being be ever new if there in 1910 the final full stop has been set out? Yes? So that's my contention here, that we must be sure within ourselves that we are not trying to show this week something that is not in line with Mrs. Eddy's thinking. Okay, I take up another point which will show us that in Mrs. Eddy's thought there was something there that knew that the revelation will continue and will bring forth new ideas. Alone, if we just take her writings and investigate it and say, how interesting. Mrs. Eddy would sometimes say, what I wrote 25 years ago is not my final word. She would look back and say, I have written many things 25 years ago, in earlier times, 50 years ago. She would say, I was teaching this and this. She would say, well, at the beginning I could not even teach Christian Science healing properly. I had to water it down to mentalism, to the method of healing through, what did you say, yes and no, through affirming and denying. That was going on for 20, 30 years. I guess it's still going on, affirming the truth, denying error, affirming truth, denying error, affirming truth, denying error, until you really should go into a sanatorium. Huh? What's that? That's all practice. All the mental groups do that. It's nothing new. So she will tell us, at one time way back, my teaching was so and so, but that was not the pinnacle of my teaching. Now I teach so and so. Even in the chapter on Christian Science practice, you have this method of argumentation, which she puts way down in the scale of treatment and says, sometimes this is necessary to use argumentation, but that is not really Christian Science healing. So we would find in her books a statement that would go backward and say, at one time I was teaching this, now I'm teaching something else, showing that the idea developed. Now, we have in her textbook quite a few sentences or indications that she speaks of today. Why should she speak of today? That today, this and this and that. Today, this and that and that. At the moment, this and this and that and that. Why at the moment if it's eternal? Because she knew at the moment it is right, adapted to the age in which we live, but there are other ages that are to come. And therefore, she also speaks quite often of the future. That the future will bring us another teaching. The time will come. she will say. The time will come when. So she looks into the future and sees the idea will develop. Where she has a whole paragraph with a side note on the higher discovery that will be seen. That she sees that it takes centuries until it is seen what she is really teaching. There is a future, and that future is not the repetition of the old. It's something new. Yes, the time will come. Or that she says, in the future. Okay, I hope I could in some way convince you, just to one point, that within ourselves there must be a consciousness that is receptive for change, for a mutation, for a paradigm shift in consciousness, or else we are just trotting on in the old way. You know, when you read the papers, when you listen to people, when you listen to the radio, when you listen to speeches of great people, of leading people, the subject somehow always comes up today. What is needed for this chaos that is in the world, what is needed is change of consciousness. Always they come up and say, our consciousness has to be changed. Not the mechanics have to be changed. Not only the chemicals have to be changed. Consciousness has to be changed. Have you ever heard that they would give you the answer how that new consciousness looks like? Very seldom, perhaps one or the other would say it must be a more ethical consciousness. Perhaps a more moral, not even moral, but ethical consciousness. That's the utmost they will tell you. That's not enough, because what is ethics? Who knows what ethics is? You ask a Muslim what ethics is, and then afterwards you ask a Jew what ethics is, and afterwards you ask a fundamentalist, a Christian fundamentalist, what ethics is. Then you ask some more brighter Christian, what ethics is. You get every time a different answer. There's nothing fixed about that, except in Mrs. Eddy's writing. She says, mind is our ethics. Mind with a capital M, which the world does not know. So, change of consciousness. Are we willing this week to undergo a change of consciousness? Or are we going to be these tough Dorleyists that say only what John Dorley said is right, what he didn't say, we don't need to know, we put that away? That's the question of today. Now, you know me well enough, and you tell me afterwards by nodding, you know me well enough that I honor John Dorley. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever I wrote was built on John Dorley's vision. And I know something else very definitely, that very few know what John Dorley has brought. Very few know the bigness of it, because most of the Dorley students only know the let the surface of what he has been teaching. But the terrific depth of it that made him stand side by side with, I have to be careful what I say, with Mrs. Eddy. What would Mrs. Eddy be today without Dorley? Nothing. Nothing at all. He turned the key to the textbook and said, I open that textbook. I show you what Mrs. Eddy really was. You haven't the faintest idea what Mrs. Eddy was, he would say. You always talk about Mrs. Eddy, our leader, the founder, yes, and what kind of a hat she wore, and what ride she took, and how she treated her horses, and so on. This is more important then really to know that she was the scientist of the highest degree, that they don't know. See, so without Dolly, the Christian Science would be nothing anymore. And so, if I say, but we can't go back to 1949, I say not 50, because his highest presentation was in 49. So if we don't just only go back to 49 and repeat what he said in 49 and stay with 49, we are not advancing. But there comes in the difficult question. You cannot advance without standing on the shoulder of Dorley. I tell you what I mean. They used to say to Einstein, they used to say, well, you are really a giant. You know, up to now we had Newton, we had as the big boss in physics, Newton. And now you have come and have shown that Newton was not the last word, that you are a real giant. And Einstein would say, I'm not a giant, I'm just a little gnome, but I stand on the shoulders of Newton, and therefore I see a little bit further than Newton. Yeah? Isn't that a good illustration? So don't think that what we are doing this week by trying, it's the first try, it's a trying out, feeling out our way, scientifically, how we can see that that the idea of Christian Science itself can evolve, and what our attitude must be that it does evolve in our consciousness. You see, it's no use that science itself evolves if we don't take any notice of it. What's the use of it? It's like having a fine radio station and nobody turns the radio on. The radio station sends and sends and sends and no reception. So science itself is that radio station. Sends out, always higher and higher insights. That's the nature of science and of being, that it evolves. The question is, can we turn on the radio so that we catch the wavelengths, the right wavelengths. That right wavelength is the most important thing this week. Do we have that receptivity that can receive really the development of science, or haven't we? And as this question has never been scientifically been answered or has been regarded as being sacrilegious, naturally, it takes something. It takes quite a bit of earnest study, of earnest thinking. It takes quite a bit of willingness to change our consciousness, to look out in another direction. Also, naturally, I would say, this is, or last year in Germany, in Switzerland, I gave the same talk as here, was, so to say, the first attempt to find out the laws regulating, really, the evolution of science itself, so that we are receiving the end of it, and just listen to it, what science has to tell us further. Yes. Okay, I've stated the subject for this week. What I want to do also is to give now, before we start tomorrow with the subject itself, I want to give some kind of overall view of what we are going to do, so that we have a preview of the subject that are involved. There are again four aspect that I will take without pinning them down to the four sides of the holy city. But the first aspect will be what I want to show is, first of all, taking the synonymous terms, sorting them out to the point, to those references where Mrs. Eddy would indicate what the future will be from the point of view of each synonymous term. Do we find within the synonymous terms, statements, indications, a good tip, so to say, which would say how the idea or to where or towards which goal the idea must and will evolve? From mind, from spirit, to soul, to principle, to life, truth and love, and just take from the textbook so that I don't deviate from the textbook. I'm very hot on that, you know. I know how it is when you bring in a new subject and when it is not properly understood, then people can hang me. They can, just can attack me right and left and say, Max said this and this, you see, which was not true, but which was misunderstood. So that I have to be very careful that what I say or how I present it is always built on the ground of the Bible, mostly on the textbook and on a good scientific reasoning. So I will do that, and we will take one synonymous term after the other, and we'll feel out that Mrs. Eddy has already within the synonymous term indication how it will evolve. In the same way, I will take again scientific obstetrics, a subject that all of you will know, I hope anyway, a subject that has been fundamental to John Dawley's evolution of science. When we were asking John Dawley, why do you think out of those million Christian scientists that were living at the beginning or in the first half of this century, why you could see really the scientific aspect of Christian science, why not the other million people? And he would say two things. He would say, because I daily was considering scientific obstetrics. Obstetrics, giving birth, means obstetrics. What kind of birth? He said, birth of the divine idea, Mrs. Eddy says. So he said, I was constantly every day contemplating that passage. And the second one, he said, I handled animal magnetism every day. Yes. So we will see that. But not only to take the individual synonymous term, but what we will do, which is a most exciting thing if we go down and each one will ponder deeply, namely, we will take every chapter of the textbook and see what does every chapter say and contribute to this specific question of the self-development of science. What is necessary in every chapter? And we'll see that every chapter tells us something different. Yes. Then, when we have done this on the basis, really, of the textbook itself, then we take a second aspect and say, if that is true, what we have seen in the textbook, then it is true as a Christ idea. What is true has a Christ, and therefore has the Christ actually worked the way the textbook is telling us? And so we can consider, so to say, the development of the Christian Science idea since 1866 and see, has the movement or the students responded to that law or not? Are we at the same point as 1866 or not? And if not, what has happened in between? What is the law that was ruling the development of it? There must be a rule there, a Christ rule. And we'll do that. Quite exciting. Then we'll take a third subject, which is a bit of a newer kind, namely that we will say if that law has worked in the text or be stated in the textbook and has worked in the Christian Science student, is that the whole of the world? Or is there a bigger world than the Christian Science world? And we'll take, really, the universe. We'll take what happened in the universe, what happened in sciences. Has sciences, especially natural science, has that evolved in the same direction? What we will see, naturally, is not the end of it, because we are not the end of the material universe yet, but the beginning of it. Does it evolve in the same way? Have we indication that the Christ idea is working the way it was shown in the textbook and the way it was lived and being seen in the Christian Science thought? If that is so, we see the parallel of it, we can come to the fourth big subject, namely law. That actually the main thing is that there exists in being laws. Without laws, nothing happens in a conclusive way. Everything will be haphazard, will be just a wonder, will be a miracle, will be I don't know what, chaos. Is there chaos in the world? Or is there law in the world? And does that law in the whole world, does that law converge towards Christian Science or not? Or does it diverge, is that the right term, diverge from Christian Science? If it converges towards Christian Science, we know what the future will be. That's what Mrs. Eddy said. Mankind will accept at one time Christian Science. It doesn't today, but it will. Okay, that's what we will do this week.